from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The Bernstein and Holmes Show.
Of antiquated aspects in all sports. Of things that are just ridiculously antiquated and anachronistic. They use a stick to measure a first down.
Stick wielded by old men.
It's like, well, did he get the first down? What should we do? I know what we should do. Summon the stick. A murmur runs through the crowd. They're going to get the stick.
Great wall of prophecy. Reveal to us God's will that we may blindly obey.
Free us from thought and responsibility.
It is the stick. All hail the stick!
We shall read things off you.
Then do them.
How do we do the measurement, sir? Are we going to use this thing on our iPhone that can measure anything perfect? No, no, no!
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 No! No, not here.
No, we wouldn't do that.
We have the stick.
Your words guide us.
We're dumb.
Everybody on the White Sox is a freaking weasel. Stop being weasels!
Don't discourage the boy. Weaseling out of things is important to learn. It's what separates us from the animals. Except the weasel.
Bernstein and Holmes. Middays 10 a.m. till 2. On Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Happy Thursday, rabbit, rabbit, rabbit. First day of August as we broadcast live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Bernstein, Holmes, Rahimi. Yeah, I said it. You heard me. It's a Layla Rahimi Thursday here on Sports Radio 670 The Score as we have a Bears game day. Bears game day, right?
I would like to say that I was asked to do the White Sox game and I said yes. Okay.
On a Bears game day?
No, I made the choice. They're off today. I'm saying yes.
That's
why I'm here.
That's why Layla wasn't
but
here.
But I
yesterday.
Was not made to do anything.
Okay.
I choose baseball on my own.
So tonight, something resembling the Bears will be on.
The Bears!
I don't think so. I think it's more like recorder Bears.
Those guys. Yeah, it's not really. But it's okay, kind of.
It's not proclamation sound. Like, it's not. It's more like.
That perfect. Yes, that's exactly what it is. But
is that going to be on Hard Knocks?
Is that your worry now? That anything of this is going to be picked up?
The whole reason that Layla did White Sox yesterday was because the Hard Knocks cameras are here.
Uh-huh. She was waiting.
If there's one thing Hard Knocks needs, it's the ninth inning yesterday for the Royals.
Meanwhile,
I don't like our team.
The inning was still going.
On the south side of Chicago. Reed Diaz is our executive producer. Adam Studzinski spins the wheels of steel. And we have Brandon Fryer. We have.
No, we don't, because he's in Canton.
Oh, who is. I can't see.
Hell yeah, Brandon Fryer Tyler made the Farengul. Trip to Canton.
Tyler Farengul in his Connor Bedard jersey is who that is. Yes.
That Connor Bedard is great.
Connor Bedard jersey. Wow. Tyler Farengul apparently is now 8.
Okay, listen here.
Not everyone has the dough to spend on a $250 sweater.
I flippin' love his jersey. I love his jersey. Okay, first of all, in the summer, it makes a lot of sense. All right? People don't walk around with sweaters on. Secondly, what's wrong with the jersey? Like, you're supporting the person you want to support. Sometimes they're really weird. The concept is kind of interesting. What's wrong with a good jersey?
Is a jersey more acceptable to you guys than a jersey? Like, you know what I mean? Like, is it good? I imagine you guys think.
I have very strident thoughts on this topic, so I'm just going to abstain.
Okay, then forget it. We shall abstain and move on.
You're anti-jersey?
I think it's weird for us as like older adults to wear jerseys of younger people.
So what about like if I wear my Mike Brown jersey? He's older than me.
Yeah,
and I got that jersey when I was like a teenager.
I have been moved on this topic because I do think if you wear someone who's older than you, that makes sense. I think Bears legends, team legends make sense.
So I was going to ask, I have a Devin Hester jersey.
Yeah.
I was going to wear that tomorrow.
Hall of Famer. Yes.
But that's... he's technically younger than me.
Well, not technically. Either he is or he isn't.
No, wait, he's older than me.
He's older than
me. I was like, wait, Studs, are you older?
Khalil Mack is younger than me. That's the one I was thinking.
How many burpees did you do?
All I have to say is I am serious, and don't call me Scherzy. We have
show is over.
Connor O'Donnell and Kevin Lapka, Cody Westerland, everybody there in the back doing the things that they do. But it's so weird that I have it seared in my head that I'm going to be in front of the television at 7 o'clock, and I'm going to sit down and I'm going to turn it on and I'm going to watch. And I also know that shortly thereafter I'm going to ask myself why I'm continuing to watch.
Preseason life. That's every time in the fourth quarter I'm like, what am I doing?
Fourth quarter, though, that's pretty good. You get through halftime.
It's the concept of checking off the boxes of your football calendar.
No, I watch all the – I can't say it out loud. I watch all the preseason games.
I mean, I'll probably watch all of this, but that's usually what happens is we go, oh, hey, in the middle of the summer, you go, hey, is that a CFL game? Cool. And then you go, hey, Hard Knocks is back. Hey, the Hall of Fame game is happening.
Is that the Alabama spring game on the television?
Well, I mean, but that's like, you're talking about April. I'm talking about like, you've had your summer, baseball has been your companion. And then all of a sudden, there's this like drip of football. And you go, what do you mean SEC Media Days is going on? Football's being talked about? That seems crazy.
Dave Campbell's Texas Football is released at the beginning of July, and you do a week-long series about it, maybe.
Yeah, back when we were kids, it's when the like Athlon College Football Magazine would come out.
If Lindy's. Lawrence is a real SEC guy,
hey,
what is that?
Look at this.
Hold on, is it?
Is the Athlon's?
That's what I should have asked you for when you went to Dallas. I should have asked you for the Dave Campbell's Texas Football.
Or Phil Steele's college football preview.
No, nope, I respect one and one only.
This is named after Athlon Jeffries, of course.
And so-
Dear word, God. Go to commercial. Just go. Just we have to stop this.
And then this would be followed.
Athlon Jeffries.
A couple months later by Dick Vitale's basketball coming out with all the giant glossy pictures of these college players who were on the same college team from one year to the next.
So that's how the NFL got you, though. The NFL got you with like some sneaky little football here, then a little bit more football there.
Yep.
And
first
a teeny bit more football. And then the next thing you know, it's on every day and it's Maction.
That's where we're at. Like, it's the steady drip of football until you can turn the faucet all the way on.
Brandon Marshall and Earl Bennett escort Alshon Jeffries for a first down.
I think it's more IV drip that you're talking about, where some, you know, the RN comes in and just turns the thing a little bit, just sort of increases.
And all you hear is Bears.
Bears. Just Bears. The amount, just you don't really feel it.
Bears.
Sometimes you get them in the mail without asking.
Bears.
Spoiler Bears. Alert.
No. I've got another story for High Noon. I don't know whether
tell that story.
Okay, for High Noon.
Yeah, that's got to be your High Noon.
It doesn't have to be High Noon.
Nah, I'll save it.
That story has to be told today.
It's a today. Bear story.
Because you had us on alert.
I was on alert for valid reasons.
Yes. I was scared. I think it's the best Bears story of the day.
Bears.
I do, Bears.
It's
an exclusive. It's a Bernstein, Holmes, and Rahimi Bears exclusive.
This week, we've had quite the week with bear stories where there's clearly a Bears maintenance man who's tracking Mark Grody's Bears reports.
That's pretty great.
And I salute you, sir, if you listen to this show. I desperately need for that person to be a listener of this show and be in on the bit.
And is sitting right now in a semi-lit room with pictures of Mark Grody cut out and taped all over
and the
walls.
And the arrows, you
and
know?
And red yarn in between the pictures.
But really, that's just a circle with Grody and a picture of a bear.
And let me just narrow cast for a second. Sir, if you are a listener to Bernstein, Holmes, and Rahimi.
His name is Mark. You have the power.
No.
You are in control.
Just let us know. It would be awesome. We will not tell anyone that you are doing the bit.
His name
how
are we is gonna, Robert Paulson.
How are we going to make sure that, how are we going to know it's him for sure? Because like, anyone can just text the text lines. Oh, it's me.
No.
You know?
Well, they could. It's a him.
Yeah, he said it was a him.
But they can email us and then I can check with the people who work at the Bears.
Bears.
They have like a whole thing.
I think, but that would tip him off. I wouldn't.
Tip who off?
Maybe either the bosses to say, hey, we have a liability issue if you're trying to kill Mark Grody.
God, what? Wow.
I'm not.
How did it get to that level?
The whole point is not to tell anyone. Okay. I just want to know.
Okay. Because we have to make sure Mark is safe.
No.
But we also have to enjoy the bit.
Mitch does not want somebody trying to kill Mark Grody.
We just ran Mark Grody in here.
All I heard was kill Mark Grody.
Well, because we think there's a lawnmower up at Hallis Hall that is targeting Mark Grody.
Not a lawnmower, a person mowing a lawn.
Prove it. It might be the lawnmower.
Did you see
Christine? Did you read it? It might be a
Dan,
possessed...
Dan, don't yell at co-workers.
Sorry.
That's all we do is yell at each other on the score.
It could be a possessed lawnmower Lawrence that is going talking. After Mark Grody.
You know how like in news stories, it'll be like SUV hits person. No, a person driving the SUV hit the person.
Right.
Not actually.
Quit yelling.
Machine on its own.
I just think it would be cool to just know.
On its own.
And machine. Then, you know, I'll do that.
If you're writing a
sack machine.
Sometimes if you're writing a script for a TV show or a movie, certain things just reveal themselves to you as plot lines or like characterizations. 100% that's one.
You're right.
Like just every time Grody tries to do a report outside.
Yeah, it may not always be the lawnmower either. It could be like a piece
weed
of
weed eater
or a blocking sled
or a sprinkler.
Right.
Air horn.
A blocking sled?
Yeah,
someone just pushing a blocking sled.
I'm not saying anyone.
That would be really funny.
I'm not saying
it would be so much effort and such commitment to the bit.
I'm not saying anyone's pushing it. You never know.
Is this more productive than the Bears game today?
Don't they have drones? Don't they have the ones the Dartmouth developed drone, the dummies that move around like Daleks?
One of the beat reporters, I can't remember which one, did say yesterday, the day before, they did see a drone over practice.
Well, that's
so
a
yes,
but I thought there's
whose drone was it?
I'm
assuming Hard Knocks or the Bears, one of the two.
But there are remote controlled tackling dummies now that they can move around with a joystick. So one of those could be sent after him too, anywhere, like down the hallway in his high rise, and just he gets off the elevator.
I think it'd be difficult for the dummy to pick the right floor.
I don't know, technology. There's smart people. And doormen might be, you just slip them a couple of bucks and
it doesn't have pockets.
Well,
okay.
Or cash.
If the starters aren't playing, I guess I'm looking at everybody else.
It doesn't have a phone.
I'm telling you, it's all built. It's in the chip. It just goes, it can Venmo the doorman and then it goes up and it waits for Grody outside his door. And Dave the cat's like, rah, rah. What is it, Dave? What is it? Dave, why are you acting like knocks him into next year?
Nah, Dave. Dave is on it. Dave is gonna save himself. Dave's gonna bolt out.
That's true,
it's
a cat. I forgot it's not a dog.
Dave is like, nah.
Cat's not interested in helping anybody.
What is happening?
Well, I want to see the new kickoff. I want to see how it works. I don't get it. I understand it by rule. I can read the description of it. But we've never seen NFL players have to conform to this. And I don't know how they're gonna officiate a false start on this play.
I'm still trying to figure out how they officiate the plays they're supposed to officiate. I hate to be the wet blanket here, but I didn't have any issues resolved from last season in the officiating consistency. Kalen Kaler shed a light on that, and I'm still bitter. Just saying.
You got to bring the stick out, chain, the blockchain, whatever it takes to get stuff done. You want answers?
I want the truth.
No, you can't handle the truth, but you're supposed to. I think I'm entitled.
I didn't know the whole thing. I think I'm entitled to it. I haven't seen that in a while. It's fine.
I think Dan's being chased by a lawnmower.
In his mind,
If it's my lawnmower, I'm not worried because it's not electric. It's just a one of those push reel.
It's electric.
Whatever they call them. It's $100 Scotts.
I'm pretty sure all of this is going to be more productive than like halfway through the game.
Mulligan Hall will continue broadcasting live from the Pro Football Hall of Fame tomorrow from 5:30 to 10 a.m. It was a fun listen today to hear all the energy, everything that's going on, all the famous people that were sitting down with them, all the people with gold jackets. And they're going to have more exclusive interviews with special guests reacting to the Hall of Fame game and much more. It's all presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Last night on Football Night in Chicago, Kaylin Kaler was on the show, and she was very animated. And we went through, like, we was like, hey, here are the things we wanted to talk about with you. And she's like, oh, I was at Chiefs camp. I want to talk about the kickoff rule. She was with Dave Tope. There's no one that's doing more calculations on this than him. So we will try to get answers to Dan about the kickoff with one of our favorite NFL reporters. And for those of you that haven't had the opportunity to see what this is going to look like because you haven't been in practices, tonight will be your first night to see it. It's different. So stick around. Kaylin will explain to you what you need to be looking for next. Bernstein, Holmes, Rahimi on the score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score.
We think that the body type is definitely a discussion, and I'm going to keep experimenting with it. So right now, I'm training all the body types. I'm training skill position, and I'm training what we call big skill because they don't like to be called bigs. So training. So we're training everyone, and then it's just a wide-open competition for the best man to win.
The always entertaining Richard Hightower, the Bears special teams coach. I heard another reaction from him when someone said, are the kickoffs going to exist? And he got very huffy in sort of a playful way. And he's like, well, in baseball, they say ready for first pitch. In basketball, they say get ready for tip off. What do they say in football? Well, when's kickoff? Like, yeah, well, that's what you say in football. So he does not want to hear the possibility that maybe kickoffs will cease to exist. However, I think eventually they will cease to exist, but this is another step in a direction that could continue the kickoff.
I think that even though Florio kind of painted a picture of how difficult it would be to change things, I think that it's going to morph and change by the middle of the season. Like, if I'm going to give a bold NFL prediction that the kickoff rules are going to change inside of the season. Because they're very complicated and coaches are already crying about it. And I think that the reason that coaches are crying about it is because it breaks routine. But I also think that there's a functional aspect of this that can be you start worrying about like roster construction. Like, do you have two kickers on your team? And is one of those kickers not a field goal kicker, just someone who's going to be able to kick the ball?
Or can your punter be that guy?
But do you want to expose your punter or your, like, do you want Justin Tucker tackling people? Because I don't, even though he's probably pretty good at it because he's good at everything that he does.
He used to try a rugby punt every now and then at Texas, and that was so bad that the ball went into the stands.
Yeah.
So sometimes not as good as you'd think.
But that's the crazy thing about this is that there are elements of kicking where you do need someone who's got precision because of the different zones that are now in play.
That's why he was trying it, actually.
Yeah.
Just various penalties would ease you up.
The difference between getting the ball at the 30 and getting the ball at the 40.
Correct.
There's all sorts of stuff that goes into this. So last night, Kaylin Kaler, who... And I was saying this to Kaylin last night. The reason that I love her as a reporter The reason why I think that she's unique, and she's working for ESPN now, so you can check out her work there, is that there's no other football reporter like her. Most of the stuff that we talk about at the national level is, are the Cowboys any good this year? Like, stuff like that.
No.
Where the stuff that she does is very granular. She wants to know why stuff happens.
She's intellectually curious as opposed to chasing clicks by just putting a picture of Kelce and Swift up there.
And I think that it ends up being really good for football fans, the fact that she is so driven to find answers on things that matter inside of football. So last night, she was there at Football Night in Chicago, NBC Sports Chicago. I was hosting. It was a lot of fun. And we kind of told her, like, look, go nuts.
Yar.
On this. Like, I don't want you to think that there's a time constraint on you explaining it, because it's really complicated. So this was her talking about her experience trying to find out what people think of the new kickoff rules.
It's basically an entirely new play. Without explaining all of the semantics of what's different about it, we talked to a referee for the first time about this play on Saturday. I was at Kansas City Chiefs camp. Referee John Hussey spoke to reporters, and he told us it is very much a work in progress. So I think we need to keep that in mind when we watch it tomorrow night, because the NFL Players Association, the players, the special team coordinators are figuring this out. Obviously, a lot of planning went into it, but until they put it out there on the field live tomorrow night, it's impossible to predict like what's really going to happen, because there are a ton of things that are different. And the work in progress line, I think we should just all keep in mind, because things might go kind of crazy. And one example I'll give was when I was at Chiefs camp, and I think this kind of puts in a whole new layer to the play. Kickers might be considering kicking their kickoffs lower, because if you get the ball on the ground, you're going to create mass chaos. It mucks up the play. So coaches are kind of considering, why don't we keep the ball lower? Well, if they do that now with the setup zone, so I saw safety Dion Bush. He's a former Bears player. We'll remember him here. He's now on the Chiefs. At Chiefs practice, he actually reached up and batted down the kickoff because Harrison Butker kicked it low for that reason, trying
but
to muck things up.
You can't jump, right?
You can't jump. You have to keep both of your feet on the ground. Or actually one foot. You can lift one foot, but you cannot leave the ground, because until the ball is caught, until the ball is caught or touches the ground, no one can move on either side except the kicker and the returners. So anyways, he batted it down. He prevented the ball from going into what's now called the landing zone, which is the 20-yard line to the goal line. If the ball lands in there, it has to be returned. If it falls short, it's a touchback at the 40-yard line. So Dion Bush, by tipping it, gave his side the ball at the 40, got a touchback at the 40. So that's the danger you run if you're going to kick it low. So it's going to be really interesting to see how kickers adjust to this, what the strategy is, but it's going to be very different. And the Chiefs had two returners back, and I think you'll see that with all teams. They're going to have two returners.
That's probably the biggest piece of it to me, is the no movement until movement.
And what constitutes a false start?
Is it a twitch? Any movement before the ball lands, right?
But when you say any move, this is what I want to know. Is it the same rule as like the tiniest offensive line twitch? Is it like a balk? Or is there some latitude?
Is it a step?
Oh, right. Or can somebody put your hands on your hips? Or can you, is it literally you can't advance? Or is it you have to freeze?
I mean, sense making would say.
Everybody clap your hands.
It sounds like it would be any sort of advancement, right? Like the encroachment, for example, into the neutral zone is forward progress of your body part of some sort.
That
head,
sounds
shoulders.
Reasonable to me. Like, don't start down the field until, but I don't think you have to hold a complete pose.
It's not like a dance routine where you hold the pose until the music starts, you know?
Right, yeah.
They don't do that in gymnastics, by the way. That's always the biggest note I have, is after any sort of landing or like the end of the floor exercise. Like, typically in dance, you hold it for like a second and a half or so. Pause. They're like, okay, I hit the end. Bye.
Okay, bye. Done. Wave, right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that, because there are people inside the Twitch stream, they're like, wait, what? Like, someone literally said, I haven't been paying attention. What's going on?
Yes? Well, fortunately for you, the NFL on July 29th tweeted a Velus Jones quote and said, Velus Jones thinks we're going to see a lot more touchdowns with the new dynamic kickoff rule, fire emoji. And then they said, to learn more about the new rule, visit this link. The link takes you to a pretty interesting little graphic with a very nice font saying, new dynamic kickoff rule explainer. And then there's a bunch of tabs.
New dynamic kickoff rule explainer.
New dynamic kickoff rule explainer. So then it says the ball is kicked from the A35-yard line, same as the current rule. Safety kicks would be kicked from A20-yard line, same as current rule. Alignment. And that's where it starts to get interesting.
This is the most interesting part.
Yes. All kicking team players other than the kicker will line up with 1 foot on the receiving team's B40-yard line. Kicker cannot cross the 50-yard line until ball touches the ground or player in landing zone or end zone. The 10 kicking team players cannot move until the ball hits the ground or player in the landing zone or the end zone. That's the part that's going to make this spicy. Ball hits the ground or player in the landing zone or end zone. So, like, the ball can hit somebody.
We'll get to the landing zone in just a second. But to continue with alignment, the receiving team will line up as follows. Setup zone, a 5-yard area from the B35 to the B30-yard line where at least 9 receiving team players must line up.
Have they talked about how they can line up? Can they line up in any formation there?
Yep. Fosse. Okay. You know,
I think it should be Dungeons and Dragons alignments that you have to declare if you're lawful, evil, or like chaotic, neutral.
Here's the answer.
RIP to our show again.
Sorry.
Here's the answer to your question.
No, I've been a chaos agent.
At least 7 players with foot on B35-yard line.
Bingo!
Restraining line with alignment requires outside numbers, numbers to hashes, and inside hashes.
I am so tired of reading this already.
We're not even halfway through.
I don't even know what direction anyone's running.
Imagine if you're a player.
Yeah.
Oh, no, this is all pretty exhausting.
Players not on the restraining line must be lined up in setup zone outside the hash marks. All players in the setup zone cannot move until the kick has hit the ground or a player in the landing zone or the end zone. A maximum of 2 returners may line up in the landing zone and can move at any time prior to or during the kick.
What about the highway to the danger zone? Is that in there?
I think the entire thing is the danger zone.
It would seem that way.
Here's the other part of it is when you're talking about a false start, the best way to get your opponent to move, at least until everybody theoretically gets used to this, is by those 2 returners moving.
All right. Yep.
Once they're moving, it's so human nature for the athletes on the other side to start moving. Like, you'd better be looking at the ball if you're on the other side in that setup zone. Otherwise, you're probably going to fall start if you look at the returner instead.
All right, I have the latest information here from an NFL veteran NFL reporter.
I mean, Dan, I'm literally reading from the NFL's website.
Hold on. With the Velus Jones
tweet. I know you are. But what this reporter says is referees have said they will not be over-officiating this. They're not going to be calling false starts super closely because they recognize that was an issue in the XFL. Because it's hard for the guys on the receiving team to judge exactly when the ball is caught or touches the ground.
Hold on. So suddenly, NFL referees have decided that practical application of something
I'm just telling you
to a consistent manner because of an issue they saw in another league and results therein are something that they should adjust to?
Yep.
Oh my God. Can we get them to try this with perhaps, pass interference and or roughing the passer? Jesus.
Hold on a second, Studs. Hold your thought because I just want to get through like the nuts and bolts of this.
Yeah, there's still more.
There's more. The landing zone. The landing zone is the area between the receiving team's goal line and its 20-yard line, as Kalen was pointing out.
I'm just going to retweet this for everybody.
Any kick that hits short of the landing zone, treat it like kickoff out of bounds, and the ball is spotted at the B40-yard line. Play would be blown dead as soon as kick lands short of the landing zone. Any kick that hits in the landing zone must be returned. Any kick that hits in the landing zone and then goes into the end zone must be returned or downed by receiving team. If downed, then touchback to B20-yard line. Kick hits in end zone stay in bounds, returned or down. If down, then touch back to B 30-yard line. Any kick that goes out of the back of the end zone in the air or bounces, touch back to the B 30-yard line. And there are a lot of coaches that are just saying, I don't want to deal with this.
Kick it into the end zone.
Just kick it out of the back of the end zone, and we'll start at the 30.
That would be my suggestion. But here's the problem is that's 10 extra yards, man.
Yep.
Like, based from where you thought it was going to be.
Or five, right? If we go with the old rules of starting at the 25, so you have five extra yards to not deal with foolishness.
I just assume everything is a touchback, so I'm like, all right, base for me is 20-yard line, but 30 is, that is
And an onside kick
generous.
Can be possible, but must be declared.
That I'm getting
You're gonna
to that.
You're going to have some this games is, that might be decided because of a 40-yard start.
That is in
line.
The miscellaneous part of this rule.
So many words for such a short amount of time.
If conditions cause the ball to fall off the tee twice, then kicker will be allowed to use kicking stick to keep the ball in place.
Wait, what?
The closest covering official will pick up the stick immediately after the kick.
Inappropriate.
I am reading from NFL's operation manual, by the way. Just so everyone... Wait, this
kicking
is not,
stick.
Hold on a second. A kicking stick is not a kicking tee.
Correct.
Kicking stick.
It's like basically like a It's basically a tripod, but they use one of the legs to hold the ball.
Oh, yeah, like what they warm up with. Okay.
Yes. So now on to, Bernstein, Holmes, and Rahimi.
Yes.
What about onside kicks? Well,
what about onside kicks?
Yeah, what about onside kicks?
Fourth quarter begins. The team trailing has the opportunity to declare an onside kick to the officials. Okay? So now, just like you have to declare yourself eligible, you now have to declare,
what's the point then?
I'm declaring onside kick.
What's the point? Like, isn't the surprise supposed to be part of it?
Yeah, I guess you can't do it like in the middle of a game then.
It's got to be sneaky.
Current onside kick rules would apply. If onside kick goes beyond the setup zone untouched, kicking team penalized. Return team would start the drive at the A20-yard line.
Are you going to read penalties?
Yes.
Oh, no.
I'm glad you asked that, Layla Rahimi.
We haven't even gotten to penalties.
Penalties.
Yet.
The setup zone and landing zone will not change with any penalties that carry over to kickoffs.
The white zone is for loading and unloading only.
Alignment of 10 kickoff team players and all receiving team players would not change. Only the spot of the kick would move. Penalties on scoring plays will not carry over and will be taken on the try. Penalties on the try may carry over, and if they do, only placement of the kicker will change. Hold on. There's one more thing.
I have an update from, again, an expert who says the part about the stick has already been changed by the league.
What?
Yes.
They didn't even update their website?
I'm getting this in real time. The stick is now gone.
So it's a person?
Referees have said yes. It's now a person. There will not be a stick.
Is the person named Kicking Stick?
No, temporarily, yes.
Because it didn't
legally.
Say the Kicking Stick. It just said we'll be allowed to use Kicking Stick.
I'm getting this in real time from someone who is listening.
Sticking Kick.
Who says the stick is now gone, that the person, the 12th player, will be a holder in the kick in the stick scenario.
So the person becomes a stick.
Yes. The stick has become a person.
Well, this we've seen a whole bunch of times, right? When they can't get the ball to stay on the tee, they use a person.
But not a 12th
but
person.
But not adding an extra person to make it CFL rules.
Correct.
Wait, I missed that part. They're adding another person.
Yeah,
you asked a question when you missed a part of the... Okay.
Well, no, wait. Like, I just didn't take... There's a lot of information going on.
Yeah,
right
the
now.
Officials didn't find out about the removal of the stick until a few weeks ago because the NFLPA argued that the stick wasn't safe.
But a 12th person is.
So what does the 12th person just have to run off the field?
It's a stick.
That's a good question.
And he has to lay there.
Yes, the 12th person has to embody a stick.
I thought he was the fan inside us all.
He has to find... He was the friends we
Texas
met along
A&M
the way.
Texas A&M says that it's you know, the crowd. And then the Seahawks tried to steal it.
So look, if you were looking for a reason, if you were a Bears fan and you were disappointed because the first team's not playing, you don't get to see Caleb play yet, this is all you need for why you should watch tonight.
Here's my issue.
This is it.
Our job is to take in copious amounts of minutia. And we're tired by this.
Yeah.
That can't be a good sign.
That's why after we finish.
The referees can't officiate simple stuff.
This is the kind of thing.
They just, like, Kalen Kaler did a massive story talking about how they basically can't officiate basic things.
If you know the feeling of being with your kid on like Christmas morning or Hanukkah at night, and there's a like a board game or they get some cool thing, it's like, will you play? Will you play? Yes, okay. And they rip it open, you sit down, and there's all these colorful pieces, and you're undoing the plastic things and putting the cards and thing, and you read the rules, and you're like, do you want to like throw a ball at the wall instead or something?
Here's a stick.
Exactly.
Cards into a hat. I love cards into a hat.
That's perfect.
I love it. I'm not kidding.
Let's hit each other with pillows.
After we finished the segment with Kalen, I texted a couple of NFL people and I was like, this isn't going to be a thing forever, is it? And they were like, expect changes to this.
Okay, cool.
How is it that they can put all this effort into this?
And yes.
But seriously not get pass interference and roughing the passer, correct?
The 12th man embodying the stick is said to he must leave the field immediately and, quote, cannot be involved in the play.
You got to put your hands behind your back and then you just run. With your shoulders, with your head down.
You can't even think about being involved in
don't
the play.
Don't look at anybody.
You can't write, don't point at anybody.
You have shame. You must run off the field.
With your head down and contemplate your place in life.
Because you have been relegated to stick. Fine, we'll go to break.
These texts are awesome.
We've been snooping at our exes. Baseball exes, to be clear.
Yeah, we're going to creep on our exes next on The Score.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. It's Odyssey Station.
Another payoff pitch, and he strikes out Merrill with a 100-mile-per-hour fastball up. And you see Merrill saying to Ha-Seong Kim as he heads up there to hit, yeah, that thing's taken off.
Look at it. I mean, this has a lot to do with the slot, but also the spin rate. So that combination, he comes a little bit three-quarter with that, and out of the hand, I mean, that thing just scoots.
First hit in a Rays uniform, went 420 feet, and there's a shot down the line and left, and that baby's gone. Home run to give the Rays a 1-0 lead. Well, Morrell's first hit in the big leagues was a home run. His first two hits in a Rays uniform. Home runs.
It's all right. It's okay. They're allowed, and we should be happy for them.
I am happy for them.
I was on the Cubs Talk podcast pretty much a couple hours after the trade deadline ended, and I said to James Neveau, man, you know, Christopher Morrell, you would have hoped to have seen it worked out here, but there's something just so enticing about his home run swing when he makes it look so easy. Lo and behold, I've gotten to see it twice since I said that.
You sure have. But hey, Paredes is really good yesterday for the Cubs.
And a ringing double off the wall.
Yeah. I like what you guys said with Sahadev earlier in the week about, A, just the piece of having a player with that defined of an approach in production. That's going to help your lineup. The only problem is you just wish you had more of them.
You wish you had more of them, and I'm still concerned. But
we'll see. To me, it just speaks to what Jed Hoyer had said, and I know we're going to get to Jed the next segment, but what he had said at the beginning of the week talking about the mission statement being for in years that are not this one.
Kopech threw a ball yesterday, got a strikeout against the Padres. It was 101 miles per hour, and I'm pretty sure the catcher caught it above the batter's head. And I was sitting there going, effectively wild. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Fire.
Do that.
Fire.
Because
yeah.
Deal Major with League that, hitters Dodgers.
Are not going to catch up to a fastball that's neck high or higher. They'll catch up to one that's middle cut, but neck high, nah, no shot.
Change the eye level a little bit, show them that, and then drop the cutter of the slider.
I am Cornwallio.
I'll say this.
Effectively wild.
You guys know that I was pretty happy about the Eric Fetty signing when it happened because I was like, oh, that makes sense. And Brian Bannister talked about it. And
worth
there's
the
a
risk.
Relationship there. And that's a savvy little signing for a team that's in transition. And we saw how it panned out. And then he ultimately gets traded. But I do think that it's of no knock to the White Sox pitching development. But we have sound from Kopech saying admittedly that he wasn't listening until he had to. So I'm very curious to see how much the Dodger staff makes him listen or is going to illustrate what they think is best for him.
I wonder if hearing it from a gray-bearded Mark Pryor, who can look him right in the eye.
And say, I was you?
And say, yeah, you think you're the only one who knows what it's like to be a hard-throwing phenom coming up with high expectations, trying to live up to all of that fame. You know what it feels like to have to fight your way through it and have conflicting bits of advice from various coaches and pitching coaches?
I learned it from you.
Man, do you, that's like...
But might he also be more willing to listen because there's actual winning that's going on with the Dodgers?
Change of scenery is good for everybody. You know how I feel about that.
I agree.
So is getting away from the White Sox organization.
I was still very bullish and... All these people's talent who got traded, including Eloy Jimenez. You know, I want to see these guys on different teams to see what happens next.
I'm very interested to see what happens with Eloy. I find him to be very likable. I really hope that he can stay healthy and that he can be helpful to a team that they're talking about trying to win the World Series. Like they're not messing around in Baltimore. So,
and if Mike Elias and his staff likes you, it's kind of like if the Rays don't want you anymore, the Rays do want you, or the Braves don't want you, or they do. I have a lot of faith in that group to figure out what they need in someone.
That's what's scary about it. And Tommy Pham, Karate Man bleed on the inside, and Karate Man is going to be back in town tonight.
Dude, how about the next day for him? And I know you guys touched on it, but the turn of events for him to waltz back into St. Louis like that.
To a standing ovation.
Hit the grand slam and then follow it up with three hits yesterday? Is he living on cloud nine?
Must be.
In St. Louis.
Well, but people get away from this organization and they get a new lease on life.
I mean, you know, baseball teams, when they struggle, also like going on the road. Change of scenery can be good for everyone, even if it's an incremental thing. It's nice to get out of your ballpark sometimes and get out of your head.
Well, we're going to get back into the ballpark on Addison and Clark and get into the head of the person in charge of baseball operations. Jed Hoyer was on the Score yesterday. He had some things to say. I don't know if you're going to like all of them, honestly. We'll discuss that next here on the Score.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It's Odyssey Station.
Another payoff pitch. Shimmy strikes out Merrill with a 100-mile-per-hour fastball up. And you see Merrill saying to Ha-Seong Kim as he heads up there to hit, yeah, that thing's taken off.
Look at it. I mean, this has a lot to do with the slot, but also the spin rate. So that combination, he comes a little bit three-quarter with that, and out of the hand, I mean, that thing just scoots.
First hit in a Rays uniform with 420 feet, and there's a shot down the line and left, and that baby's gone. Home run to give the Rays a 1-0 lead. Well, Morrell's first hit in the big leagues was a home run. His first two hits in a Rays uniform. Home runs.
It's all right. It's okay. They're allowed, and we should be happy for them.
I am happy for them.
I was on the Cubs Talk podcast pretty much a couple hours after the trade deadline ended, and I said to James Neveau, Man, you know, Christopher Morrell, you would have hoped to see it worked out here, but there's something just so enticing about his home run swing when he makes it look so easy. Lo and behold, I've gotten to see it twice since I said that.
You sure have. But hey, Paredes is really good yesterday for the Cubs.
And a ringing double off the wall.
Yeah. I like what you guys said with Sahadev earlier in the week about, A, just the piece of having a player with that defined of an approach in production, that's going to help your lineup. The only problem is you just wish you had more of them.
You wish you had more of them, and I'm still concerned. But
we'll see. To me, it just speaks to what Jed Hoyer had said, and I know we're going to get to Jed the next segment, but what he had said at the beginning of the week talking about the mission statement being for in years that are not this one.
Kopech threw a ball yesterday, got a strikeout against the Padres. It was 101 miles per hour, and I'm pretty sure the catcher caught it above the batter's head. And I was sitting there going, effectively wild. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Fire.
Do that.
Fire.
Because
yeah.
Deal with that, Dodgers.
Are not going to catch up to a fastball that's neck high or higher. They'll catch up to one that's middle cut, but neck high, nah, no shot.
Change the eye level a little bit, show them that, and then drop the cutter of the slider.
I am Cornelio.
I'll say this.
Effectively wild.
You guys know that I was pretty happy about the Eric Fetty signing when it happened because I was like, oh, that makes sense. And Brian Bannister talked about it. And
there's a relationship
there. And that's a savvy little signing for a team that's in transition. And we saw how it panned out. And then he ultimately gets traded. But I do think that it's of no knock to the White Sox pitching development. But we have sound from Kopech saying admittedly that he wasn't listening until he had to. So I'm very curious to see how much the Dodger staff makes him listen or is going to illustrate what they think is best for him.
I wonder if hearing it from a gray-bearded Mark Pryor, who can look him right in the eye
and say, I was you?
And say, yeah, you think you're the only one who knows what it's like to be a hard-throwing phenom coming up with high expectations, trying to live up to all of that fame. You know what it feels like to have to fight your way through it and have conflicting bits of advice from various coaches and pitching coaches?
I learned it from you.
Man, that's like...
But might he also be more willing to listen because there's actual winning that's going on with the Dodgers?
Change of scenery is good for everybody. You know how I feel about that.
I agree.
So is getting away from the White Sox organization.
I was still very bullish and all these people's talent who got traded, including Eloy Jimenez, you know, I want to see these guys on different teams to see what happens next.
I'm very interested to see what happens with Eloy. I find him to be very likable. I really hope that he can stay healthy and that he can be helpful to a team that they're talking about trying to win the World Series. Like they're not messing around in Baltimore. So,
and if Mike Elias and his staff likes you, it's kind of like if the Rays don't want you anymore, the Rays do want you, or the Braves don't want you, or they do. I have a lot of faith in that group to figure out what they need in someone.
That's what's scary about it. And Tommy Pham, Karate Man bleed on the inside, and Karate Man's gonna be back in town tonight.
Dude, how about the next day for him? And I know you guys touched on it, but the turn of events for him to waltz back into St. Louis like that.
To a standing ovation.
Hit the grand slam and then follow it up with three hits yesterday? Is he living on cloud nine?
Must be.
In St. Louis.
Well, but people get away from this organization and they get a new lease on life.
I mean, you know, baseball teams, when they struggle, also like going on the road. Change of scenery can be good for everyone, even if it's an incremental thing. It's nice to get out of your ballpark sometimes and get out of your head.
Well, we're going to get back into the ballpark on Addison and Clark and get into the head of the person in charge of baseball operations. Jed Hoyer was on the score yesterday. He had some things to say. I don't know if you're going to like all of them, honestly. We'll discuss that next here on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.